This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is opening day down in Miami, FLA, as the Pirates take on the Marlins. A good pitching matchup. Sandy Alcantara against Paul Skeens. And Alcantara is a guy who won a Cy Young a few years ago, then had some injury problems, missed all of last year, but he looks like he's got everything back. So that'll be, you would imagine, a quick, low-scoring game. To that end, Bob Pompiani here with Jim Colony, as Joe is probably on a golf course by now, so... This lineup.
So when did he fly down? Like
this
yesterday
morning.
After?
No, no, this morning early. Yeah, one of those early flights.
Hope he got his golf clubs.
You never know.
No, I went down last year, and I think I told you that story. My golf clubs never made it onto the plane.
Well, that's always a risk.
So I had to borrow. That. I had to borrow some clubs from my friend Greg Jacobs, and then I now have his old driver because I liked his driver better than mine.
That's the danger.
I know.
All right, so here it is. It's Tommy Pham leading off, and I imagine he's going to platoon with Jack Sawinski throughout the course of this year. Then it's Brian Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz bats third, Joey Bart will hit fourth, Andrew McCutchen is the fifth hitter and the designated hitter, Nick Gonzalez, followed by Andy Rodriguez, who plays first base for the first time, I think, is that right, and as a major leaguer?
I thought, and I he didn't he get have, like two games in the Grapefruit League?
Yeah, but I'm talking about in actual.
Oh, I know, right,
yeah,
I know.
So that's it.
No,
then
no time
Brian
like
Hayes is batting eighth, which is really interesting, and then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is ninth. So what do you think about that lineup? Because I can't find a lot of spots where there's going to be a lot of power, of course, and I think that's one of the things in this day and age you really need more of.
Well, if let's say that Ke'Bryan Hayes was just himself, right? His healthy, relative healthy, okay self, right? And if you've got a lineup with that guy batting eighth, now we're talking. Now you're talking about like a real deep major
words,
league
yeah,
lineup.
But that's not the reason he's batting eighth.
I know. That's the sad thing. That's like the bad news. You know, I think, well, I don't have to go into the locker room. So what I think Tommy Pham is a colossal waste of money. And if that you had taken what they had paid him and Adam Frazier and Andrew Heaney, that you could have gone out and actually gotten a legitimate major league hitter to put in your lineup. We talked about this earlier. With and I don't know if Matt Haig is going to make any difference or not, but if improvement is going to have to come from within, which with these people, it's going to have to, that if you can get Sawinski back to what he was, oh, you can live with that, right?
Sure.
A guy that can play the outfield at a better than average ability, and a guy that can hit between 20 and 30 home runs. Okay, now we're talking about a legitimate corner outfielder. I don't know. I just. We'll see what happens. What the last time Skeens pitched in spring training? Didn't he? I guess he allowed one run, but his teammates got no hit. So
right.
there's always that. It's always that possibility that if he gives up one run, it's going to be one too many.
Well, here's the thing. Last year he took no hitters into like three different games late in the games, and You know, he's always going to, that's the one thing about him. If he's on the mound, you can bet you're going to be in the games. And I would say that about Keller, too, and Jones. Now that, you know, he's out, that doesn't apply. You know, they're going to be challenged, I think, with Majinski and Bailey Falter and Heaney. But ultimately, again, where does the power come from? I hope Hayes has what he is capable of because he hasn't had it so far. But you're not going to get it necessarily for anybody in this lineup, with the exception of Cruz and Reynolds, I would think. Bart, maybe. But other than that, where does it come from?
Yeah, I heard you guys with Austin, you had the over-under on infield home runs at, what, 32?
32 and a half, yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, all you need to do is you need to get like 8 home runs from every guy. But I'm thinking under. But you know, Hayes is the key to that thing, obviously. And then it would have been over if Cruz was still a shortstop, but he's not a shortstop, rightfully. So he goes to the outfield, which is fine. But that's what you, how many like 20 home run guys should a real major league lineup have? 6?
Yeah.
5 at least?
I mean, in this day and age, yes.
And they'll be lucky to have 4. I'm sorry, they'll be lucky to have more than 2. Because you're going to have, maybe Bart will hit over 20 home runs, but you've got Reynolds, who's a proven, you know, Reynolds is an all-star, and then Cruz should be an all-star at some point. But other than that, you know, I have no idea.
And their bench is not very good either. That's the other thing. You got to come up with guys on the bench who can hit, and they don't have much of that. So to your point earlier, this is where you would like to develop guys in your system who could be up here and hit the baseball. And they haven't really done that. Pitchers, some of them, yes, but hitters, hardly any. And if you're going to draft guys and bring guys in, that you got to get some response from your farm system.
And you know, the Jared Jones injury obviously hurts. So he's not going to pick up a baseball for 6 weeks. So that takes you into the middle of May. And then when's he going to be able to actually pitch? All-Star break? It's just, you know, I don't know how quickly you ramp it up after not picking up a baseball for a month and a half. But, you know, then you hear about the guys they have in the minors, like Bubba Chandler, who's supposed to be, you know, he's going to be the first call-up. Thomas Harrington, will he be another one? I don't know. I do remember last year, but now I'm talking about pitching instead of hitting. I just don't know. Can you imagine if they had, because there was a legitimate debate, right, when they had the first overall draft pick, do you pick Paul Skeens or do you pick Dylan Cruz,
right,
his LSU teammate? Can you imagine if they had picked a hitter? Where do you suppose he'd be right now?
Wyatt Langford, I think, was he in the same draft or was that a year before there? He was another guy who was supposed to be, and he's doing pretty well with his team.
Well, whatever they had done, if they had drafted a hitter, it's like Steelers with quarterbacks. I have absolutely no confidence that they'd be able to develop that player. I do like what they've done with Oscar Marin since they've been here. Remember before where they tried to buttonhole Garrett Cole into a, you know, 3-pitch ground ball guy.
Hit the ground ball, sinker, get it in play.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 3 pitches or less. Remember we used to say, I love Ray Sarich, but I got sick of hearing 3 pitches or less. And then once, you know, you've got guys now that they look at what they have, Tyler Glasnow. If Tyler Glasnow had this pitching management when he first came up, things might have been different. You know, maybe with hitters, maybe it can be kind of like that where they say, okay, here's what we're working with and let's see how we can refine that. Because there are all sorts of different hitting styles. Nowadays, is everybody buttonholed hitting the same way? Remember when we were kids? This is old guy talking, where you would play wiffle ball in the backyard and you'd be the Pirates. Okay, so you'd have to bat like Clemente. You'd have to bat like Stargell. You'd have to adopt the exact stance of that player. Nowadays, they're probably all the same. They're taught the same thing with foot tap, whatever. But back then, all these guys, like if I was a Red Sox guy, Carl Yastrzemski had his elbow way up. I couldn't hit a wiffle ball like that, but you had to do it because you were the Red Sox.
Right.
And the same thing with the Pirates. You'd be different players when everybody had a different style. But as long as the bat met the ball in a certain way, you know, at the right time, that's all you needed. You didn't need to have a certain stance. You didn't need to have a certain whatever. They're not doing that with their pitchers now, which is encouraging, where they're taking, okay, this is what this guy can do, so let's work with it. Hitting, I wish they could do the same thing, but I don't know where it's there. And there's nobody, what's that, Matt Gorski hit a couple home runs early in spring training.
A
couple years ago, he was their minor league hitter of the year. And then what happens to these guys?
They don't get a chance either. Why not get? This is a wide open first base. Why can't Matt Gorski get his chance?
I don't know.
I would do it. What do they have to lose? All right, let's see what Mike Brookline has to say. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
What's up?
I'd like to, I mean, this is going to sound idiotic, but I would like to see them trade Skeens now for his sake. My fear is that they're just, they're not going to have a team to support him. And my bigger fear is that he's going to try to make up for that and throw the ball a little bit harder, you know, a little bit nastier of a curve and ruin his arm. And I just would like to see him be able to succeed somewhere with a real team.
Well, that's not going to happen anytime soon, should it?
I know that.
But the thing about him is I think he just does his thing. And I don't know if he's going to be totally worried. He may get frustrated along the line a little bit, but he strikes me as somebody as, you see my stuff, judge me on what you see. I can't control things I can't control. He will be judged. I was talking to Jim about this earlier. We were talking about Cy Young Awards, and he's the youngest guy to be a favorite. He can actually have fewer wins than a lot of people, but as long as the other metrics are good, Steve Carlton, Jim brought up, was a good example of, you know, he had 27 wins once for the Phillies. They only had 59 as a team.
Right.
And he accounted for of them. So I think people will look beyond the wins and losses, and if it gets frustrating, he'll deal with it. He's pretty mature, and I don't think he'll have a problem with anything.
Well, I hope you're right, because I'd like to see him here, but I'm just not sure how they're going to
eventually.
Well, yeah, you're going to have him for maybe four more seasons. Where you think
this is why the window's open, and go for it when you have a chance.
Exactly.
You have a generational player. You have to surround him with
exactly.
things.
But we know they're not going to do that. But I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Well,
maybe they'll get lucky, and maybe, you know, they'll trade their whatever assets they will decide to trade. You know, at the deadline, maybe they'll be in a position. But that didn't. You know, that again, years before they got good, that didn't work either. They brought in Derek Lee, and who was the other guy? Morneau. I thought, oh, this is going to be pretty good. And then Derek Lee tries to block a pitch with his hand and breaks it, which was the stupidest thing you've ever seen a major league guy do. So they were well-intentioned then when they did it. And Ben Cherington is like Neil Huntington part two. So you would think he would do this. They both went to Amherst and they grew up in New Hampshire. So, you know, you would think that they would make a move, and maybe it'll pay off. Maybe it will. You know, they tried it with Chris Archer. Obviously, that was a disaster.
But that shouldn't be the reason you don't make another trade.
No, exactly. You know, you're right
you're gonna
about
miss
that.
Some of those, you're going to hit them, but the idea was correct. It just they missed.
No, but then, you know, Bob, they would do something like this. If you've got a guy who's going to be a free agent, who's going to, like Vlad Guerrero, okay, let's say that, okay, the Blue Jays are going to be hopelessly out of it. He doesn't have a new contract. We get to the trade deadline. He's got like 35 home runs.
Bring him
and
in.
Bring him. But they won't do that.
I know, but they should.
They'll say, I know.
If they're there, if they're close,
They'll say that, oh, we can't do that because we're not going to have him beyond this year. We need to think long term.
I understand that. But at some point, you have to make a move that helps your current team, especially if your current team shows you that they are competitive and have a chance. Let's go out to Ernesto in McMurray. And Ernesto, sounds like you could be a pitcher.
Oh, good. Okay.
Crowley was talking this morning about how all the planets need to align perfectly for them to make a run for the division. And it seems like this first baseman, the gentleman that was speaking with him said we're 6 weeks to figure out first base, and they still don't know their platooning. And the last 10 years, from moving Pedro to third, I think they traded for Derek Lee to be a first baseman. They've never given a first baseman a major league contract. Now, if you just do that one move, just a solid first baseman, maybe you pay a little bit more because they don't want to come to Pittsburgh, and you have a somewhat of a competitive team. I've heard Bob say many times on the air, just put one bat around Skeens, and we'll see what we can do from there.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't you?
Well, right now they've got two.
But I mean, I would.
You know, you can.
In addition
on.
To what you have, you need another
yes.
one or two. So you go out and instead of giving these 1 year, $4 million, $3 million, $2 million deals, you go out and give one guy $25 million for the year, and you say play and wherever. Why can't you do that? You know, you could do that.
Of course, you could.
And if he's productive, you can trade him at the deadline if you stink. And I don't know. They just need to throw us a bone as the public. I haven't really watched, but I was faithful. I followed the stats. I did everything. When they moved Pedro from third to first, I quit life on this team. And it's a shame because I live and died for them more than any other team in this town.
Well, he couldn't throw the ball. I mean, the people – was that before they had the netting up there? The people behind first base would have been in danger. I love Pedro and everything.
Yeah, he definitely had issues there.
And then I've told this story a million times. Neil Walker told me that when Josh Bell got drafted and he showed up in Bradenton to work out with Neil and with Andrew McCutchen, Neil came back. He goes, this guy is a stud. He goes, they should make him a first baseman right now. They didn't. And then by the time they did, he couldn't even figure out how to throw the ball, how to short arm it around the infield.
All right, one more call before we go to break. Who is it, Austin?
This is Skip in Mount Lebanon. It is not Joe Starkey.
Oh, good.
It better not be.
Hey, guys, I love the old school hosts here. You guys are
Can't get much older than I am, unless we had Smizek on the phone. But
yeah, there you go. Here's a question that I've never heard addressed. Back in 95, right after the MLB lost the World Series, I think most people forget that their government intervened and made a back-to-work mandate that derailed any chance baseball had to get a real equitable system, and it's been getting worse ever since. You know, all the nutting vitriol and all that, and not really, okay, he is cheap, but I don't care who you get in here with a revenue disparity, you're not going to be able to keep a Paul Skeens or a great
player.
Sure,
you could. Sure, you could. You have to be willing to do it. You have to be willing to go into the red sometime to make your team better. And if you do it the right way, you can still reap the benefits at the other end.
I disagree, because the only team that right now is in the red is the Mets, because the owner's kind of off the rails. But these guys are not going to write checks out of their personal fortunes to pay salary. Nobody does that. The revenue disparity is so huge, and it gets wider
every
year.
The Pirates, in my belief, are still making money, Skip. They're making money. And if I asked you, their payroll right now is, I think, $84.5 million, something in that range. All I'm asking, if you took it up by $40 more million, that takes you to $120. Where does that land you? And does that affect your profitability for this year? Maybe it does a little bit, but it's certainly in the best interest of the baseball team and the city. You can absolutely do that.
But when you come to scheme, I mean, I'm looking at the best comp I can come up with here just real quick, and MLB.com is Yamamoto of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. 12 years, $325 million. The Pirates aren't going to do that, and really, I think, nor should they.
I'm not endorsing 12-year deals. What I'm saying is you can give – I'm talking about an average annual value, whatever that comes out to be. They can afford that if they wanted to. No one's stopping them.
Well, the other thing is the Dodgers don't win every. I mean, they're going to win.
They're going to win a division every year. They always are, and they're going to win another World Championship.
You would think, but something often happens to those teams. How come the Yankees haven't won all the time? How come the Red Sox haven't won all the time? The Cubs
every year and have a chance to win. All I'm saying is, if they have a chance to get a generational player, why wouldn't you want to keep them around? Do everything you can to do it, and there's ways to do it. Bob Nutting has a lot of money that he could allocate to doing that somehow, some way. I that's why I want to see what the books actually say. No one really knows what the books actually say. We're all just guessing or using people's information that may not know accurately. I don't know. Don't you think that they could raise their look at these other teams?
Oh no, Bob, there's no question.
$120 million.
Of course they could. Of course they could. And I'm looking at some of these others contracts.
Now you wouldn't have to do this, Jim, if they develop guys better. Because even these teams that have the biggest payroll,
that's the Tampa Bay
they
example.
Do that. They still develop players. Why do the Yankees make trades every year where they give up really high-end prospects? Why do the Dodgers do it? Yeah, because they have them to trade. They've developed them. The Pirates, if you don't develop, then you have to spend. If you don't spend, you're getting nothing.
And they draft them at the ends of rounds. Pirates are drafting in the first, in the
right,
top
that's
10
what I'm
every
saying.
Year.
You should have a plethora of people that you could either use or trade to help your current team.
But the only reason I'm bringing up the Skeens thing is because at some point the Pirates cannot afford to pay that much money. They can, but if they'd be the exact opposite of what they are right now, if they gave Skeens, let's say, a contract that he deserves, let's say they said, okay, we're going to sign you for 12 years, $400 million. Let's just say they did that. Then they wouldn't have any money left to pay anybody else. It's the exact opposite of what they're doing right now, which is where you've got Skeens at a bargain basement. I don't know if any player, if he projects the way he did last year into the next 3 years, what player is going to give you more bang for your buck than what he's giving you? And that's when they should have, we're arguing kind of with each other against each other. It's just that they need to invest more money when they have the ability, when they have the guys that they could, the pitching that's more expensive. I don't care anymore, Bob, but I care.
No,
I care.
The thing is, the development of prospects is number one with all franchises. It doesn't matter how much you make or how much you spend. If you draft develop, you'll have assets that you can either use on cheap contracts now or trade to get other.
Tommy Pham leadoff homer today. I can just feel it.
Uh-oh. I don't know if that's in the
cards. I can feel it.
I don't know if that's in the cards.
Jim, I can feel
appreciate
it.
Your time today. I know you have golf tee time here.
I know.
So
I don't want to be late.
You don't want to be late for that. You got to continue the retirement life, which is good, and I'm glad to see you. So thanks for stopping
yes.
in.
It was fun. Is Joe back on Monday?
He is back, I believe.
Oh, that's
unless he maybe plays really well and he may just decide to stay. And if that's the case, I'll call you.
Nice. Okay, I'm available. Right. I'm available Monday, but I got to work this weekend.